Welcome to NaNoWriMo Every Month. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer. I'm the author of some 20 books, 34 short stories, and numerous articles and other things, and I am your guide on this journey to use NaNoWriMo to level up to professional output levels. Welcome to Day 24. Writing every day like this teaches you a lot of interesting things about yourself and your family and the way that you organize your priorities in your life. And one of the things that you realize after having done this for 24 days straight is that carving out that little bit of time every day to do your words can be a massive source of conflict. It can be a source of conflict between you and your boss, between you and your spouse or your significant other, between you and your children, or between you and your dog. It's very, very easy to shuffle your writing to the back of the priority list because it's something you can do anywhere. It's something you can do any time. It's not something you really need to prioritize. As long as you get it done, that's okay. Except that's not really true. If your writing is important enough to you that you're doing NaNoWriMo, if it's important enough to you that you're listening to this podcast because you want to be able to do that every month or better, then your writing is something that is very integral to who you are. It's not something you're going to stop doing without losing a significant part of your identity, of the way that you engage with the world, of the way that you think and imagine and emote. It's tied into all those deepest parts of yourself that make you who you are. And out in your writing are going to come explorations of ideas, concepts, philosophies, religions, emotions that aren't the kinds of things that you'd normally want to talk about in polite society. They may not even be the kinds of things that you can talk about in your marriage. That can cause some problems. One of the choices that I've seen a lot of writers have to make, and by a lot I mean almost everyone I know, including myself at one point, is the choice between a friend and your writing, a spouse and your writing, a family member and your writing, a job and your writing. These are very difficult choices to make, and any sane person would tell you in these kinds of situations, look, the writing's gotta go, your kid needs the time with you, or the writing's gotta go, or at least this subject matter's gotta go, because it's causing problems with you and your church community is very important to how your life is functioning, or you can't be writing about sex, or torture, or rape, or strange religions, or anti-American activities, or pro-American activities, because it's causing problems with your spouse who's getting offended by the sorts of things you're saying, the sorts of things you're thinking, the sorts of language that you're using. You can't do this because it's destabilizing your home environment. That's what any sane person would say, because most sane people don't really understand what it is that drives us to the keyboard day in and day out, whether we're enthusiastic and want to write, or whether it's a push and we'd really like to be doing something else. What drives us to the keyboard day in and day out is that we are storytellers. And part of the function of stories is to be unsafe. There are safe, comfortable stories. These are the stories that go into unsafe territory, but just enough to be exciting or interesting and then come home. Then there are the unsafe stories. And unsafe depends entirely on who's reading it or who's writing it. An unsafe story for me is going to be very, very different than an unsafe story for Kitty McKeon, who is my partner. It'd be very different from an unsafe story for my father, who has a different religion than I do. What is unsafe for you is going to be safe for people around you, and what is safe for you is going to be unsafe for the people around you. The places where you feel comfortable, they may feel very uncomfortable, and vice versa. If you're someone who has to write, and you're surrounded by people who don't get that, or who don't share your value system, at least insofar as it comes to creative freedom, sooner or later that relationship is going to end. Sometimes it'll take you by surprise. Sometimes it'll be an immense disaster. Sometimes it'll be a foregone conclusion, and you enjoy the relationship while it's there, and when it ends, it's no big deal. This is actually true in all of the arts, and it can get even worse with other writers, because with other writers you've got that competition thing going on, you've got professional jealousy. Success can come into the equation. Similar creative ideas can come into the equation. If you're Stanley Kubrick and Steven Spielberg is one of your best friends and you've been working for 20 years on making a Holocaust film and Steven Spielberg comes out with Schindler's List, one of your best friends has just wrecked 20 years of your work. That can completely screw up a relationship. Now, in that case, it didn't. But I've seen that kind of thing happen over and over again. That kind of thing has happened to me before. With other writers, professional jealousy and all sorts of other stuff, it really screws with relationships. So you've got to be prepared for the fact that holding on to your writing is going to be costly on an interpersonal level from time to time. Now, if you have relationships that are very dear to you and very important to you that your writing threatens, and you're not willing to give up either the relationship or your writing, then you're gonna have to get creative, and this can be done. I've seen this done very successfully and fairly unsuccessfully over the years by different people using different strategies. If, for example, you've got a spouse who is really upset by the way that you approach sex in your books, you can get a divorce. You can table the subject so that it's not something you're allowed to discuss together. Or you can find a different first reader and you can tell your spouse, don't read my books. That's a perfectly valid way to do things. I've had to do that several times with people close to me. I've had to tell them, don't read this book, it will upset you. Sometimes they read it anyway and they get upset. Sometimes they read it anyway and they come back and they go, you know, it was a little bit difficult, but I liked it. And I'm sitting there going, I warned you, why did you do that? But at that point, it's on them, because you've had the consideration to warn them to steer clear. It's now their responsibility if they decided to read it. You've not emotionally assaulted them by giving them something that you know is going to hurt them or upset them or stretch them in ways that they really don't want to be stretched. That kind of arrangement can work, but it does take the willingness on your part to be very upfront. And it does take a healthy communication dynamic. If you don't have that, you may be in for some trouble. But because of who you are, because you're the kind of person that's listening to this podcast, it's very likely that no matter how much you try to suppress it or censor it, your writing is going to continue to be an issue in your life that is front and center. And when you've got that kind of brute fact, now brute fact in philosophy is something like gravity, right? You can't get around gravity no matter how much you philosophically dislike the idea. It's just something about the universe that you have to cope with. If you're the kind of person that's listening to this podcast, your writing is probably a brute fact about you, as intractable for you as your genome and your culture of origin and your native language. And because it's that kind of brute fact, you're going to have to build your world around it, rather than adapting it to your world. Because in the long run, adapting it to your world won't work. Either your writing will suffer to the point where it will become misery to you, or your world will suffer to the point where you have to make some radical changes in it. And neither of those things is fun. Because your writing is a brute fact about you, it deserves a front seat. And it's more fair, more honest, and more ethical to be upfront with the people you interact with, the people you love, the people you live with, than it is to try to pretend to be something you're not. Because in the end, that pretense will fall away. No one can keep up that kind of illusion forever. So give your writing a front seat in your life. Make it a priority. And deal honestly with your loved ones. I'll see you tomorrow. NaNoWriMo Every Month is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and produced by Artistic Whispers Productions. Visit our website at NaNoWriMoEveryMonth.com and leave a tip in the tip jar to support this podcast. NaNoWriMo Every Month is copyright 2015 by J. Daniel Sawyer and Artistic Whispers Productions and released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License.